Since at least the days of the ancient Greeks, humans have known that one way to write a compelling story is to include a bit of hamartia. That's a tragic flaw. And sometimes that flaw is a physical shortcoming. Achilles had that famously vulnerable heel. But it's often more interesting if the flaw is something more innate, something tied to a character's understanding of themselves. Hubris is the famous one. It's excessive pride. After all, it wasn't really Achilles' unprotected heel that took him down. It was his false belief that his mother had made him invulnerable. No, you haven't stumbled upon a podcast about ancient Greek mythology or storytelling. This is actually a story about the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Hi, folks. I'm Eric Bain with Reason Magazine. Thanks for joining us on this edition of American Radio Journal. This week, I'm taking a closer look at some moves that the Trump administration has made, including trying to defund the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the CFPB, which was, of course, created back in 2010. You might say that it was that same sense of hubris, that same excessive pride, that belief in its invulnerability that has actually caused the CFPB's fatal flaw to become exposed and now taken advantage of by the Trump administration. And the CFPB could now be headed into a sort of coma later this year because of a fatal flaw that was embedded by its own parents, Senator Elizabeth Warren and former President Barack Obama. Let me explain. Unlike every other department and agency within the federal government, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is not funded with congressional appropriations. Instead, its funding flows directly from the Federal Reserve. Every year, the White House submits a budget to the Federal Reserve, and the central bank hands over the necessary amount of cash to keep the bureau running. Last year, it was just about $730 million. For a long time after the CFPB was created, there were some serious questions about the constitutionality of that structure. Those questions were finally resolved for good last year when the Supreme Court ruled that Congress was within its power to offload the purse strings like it did in creating the CFPB, to just give the White House the ability to get those get the funds straight from the Federal Reserve. So funding the CFPB in this way, without any sort of congressional oversight, is not unconstitutional, according to the Supreme Court. It's just unorthodox, and I think kind of foolish. Now, here's where the hubris enters the story. When Warren and Obama created the CFPB, they designed that weird, unorthodox funding structure specifically to prevent a future Republican-led Congress from trying to defund the Bureau. Remember, this is 2010. This was the age when Republicans were running around the country telling voters that they intended to repeal Obamacare. They were going to actually cut government. A lot of that never actually materialized, but that's what Republicans were saying. And so Warren and Obama tried to isolate the CFPB from Congress's budgetary powers to prevent that sort of thing from happening. Warren was trying to make it invulnerable to attack, but instead, she just gave it a fatal flaw. Earlier this week, the Trump administration submitted its new funding request for the CFPB to the Federal Reserve, and it asked for $0. Russ Voigt, the director of the White House's Office of Management and Budget, posted on Twitter on Saturday night to explain that he had notified the Federal Reserve that the CFPB will not be taking its next draw of appropriated funding because it is not reasonably necessary to carry out its duties. He added that the Bureau's current balance of about $700 million is in fact excessive in the current fiscal environment. And he concluded by saying that this spigot, long contributing to the CFPB's unaccountability, is now being turned off. So that's that. That's game over. That's the end of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, at least for now, at least until a Democrat occupies the White House again. Trump will need an act of Congress if he seriously wants to abolish the Department of Education or other parts of the federal bureaucracy. Even minor spending cuts that have been proposed by the Department of Government Efficiency and other parts of the Trump administration will probably need congressional or legal consent if they're going to be permanent. But there's no serious question about whether the president can unilaterally defund the CFPB. Congress has no role to play in that fight by design. Like Thetis, that's Achilles' mother, dipping her infant son in the river Styx to grant him near invulnerability, except for that heel that she was holding, Warren thought she was making the CFPB an unstoppable force. Instead, all she's done is leave its fate in the hands of President Donald Trump rather than Congress. Now, this analogy is admittedly one that breaks down a bit because the CFPB is really no epic hero. In the time that it's been around, it has reduced access to credit cards for some lower-income consumers and jacked up bank fees and mortgage costs. The bureaucrats at the CFPB have tried to set price controls and passed all sorts of regulations. And, you know, for reasons that Reason and other publications have explored for years, it's really kind of an unnecessary appendage within the federal government. And of course, in its absence, governmental functions that protect consumers from financial crimes will continue. The Department of Justice will still prosecute fraud. The U.S. Treasury will still regulate financial institutions. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, that's the FDIC, that will continue to underwrite bank accounts and provide insurance for deposits. And various other state and federal entities will still continue to keep a watch on financial crimes. The CFPB's demise, which is probably only a temporary one anyway, is hardly worth worrying about and certainly not worth mourning. But there's a lesson in all of this for Republicans, too. Power is fleeting and the political dynamics are always shifting. The CFPB was born in an era when Democrats falsely believed that their electoral majority, in presidential elections at least, would only become more dominant in the years after Obama. They were very wrong about that. Republicans are now in something of a similar moment, despite having a minuscule congressional majority and a president who got votes from less than a quarter of all Americans. So Republicans should be careful to avoid these types of mistakes, of course, because excessive pride always comes before the fall. For Reason Magazine, I'm Eric Boehm. Check out more of our coverage of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and everything else going on in the new Trump administration at Reason.com. And catch me right back here next week on another edition of American Radio Journal.